Last week we looked at the idea of mission, ministry, and I explained that we're shaped to serve God, and then we went out to the ministry and mission fair, and today I'd like to look at the second word of that title, which is mission, and that we're here on earth to have a mission. We're made for a mission, and that's our fifth purpose and our concluding purpose that we're going to consider during this 40 days period. Now let's just think about Jesus for a moment. It's a good thing to do in church, isn't it? When Jesus was here on earth, he only attracted a small group of followers. He gathered them together and he said, "This is who I am." And he taught them a little bit through direct teaching, through stories, and he took them with him and he showed them who he was via his miracles, his authority over nature, his authority to forgive people. They weren't quite sure exactly what to make of all of that, but that's understandable. He told them that the reason that he'd come to the earth was to find lost people, to seek them out, and to gather them and bring them home, to seek and save the lost, it says in Luke 19. He explained that in order to do that, he had to die to give people the opportunity to come back to God. But he explained that he would also rise from the dead, that death would be defeated, and that everyone would be able, therefore, to live with God forever in God's presence. Now, he explained that when anyone turned back to God and put their faith in what Jesus had done on the cross, they would be welcomed home. They would share eternal life. That's what Jesus did. He told them that's what he was going to do, and then he did it. And he said this was the reason he came to earth. This was his mission. After he had died on the cross and been raised again from the dead, he said this to his followers. He said, "As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." And that word send has the idea of mission in it. As the Father gave me a mission, so now I am giving you a mission. And he sent his small band of followers into the ancient world to tell this extraordinary story about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And through that story and through the mission of those early Christians, the church began and Christianity expanded around the world. Now, in the New Testament, that story about Jesus is called the Good News or the Gospel. And if we look at a little cameo of what the early church did, it says this: day after day in the temple courts, this is in Jerusalem, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. That was the mission of the early church, and that's what changed people. When they heard the good news about Jesus, they then actually changed from not believing in Jesus to believing in him. Now, our mission as Christians is to keep proclaiming the good news about Jesus, that he is the Christ. At some stage in your life, someone told you about Jesus. It may have been a parent, it may have been a teacher, it could have been the local church. You may not even remember who told you the first time about Jesus. But someone told you about Jesus. And your role, or one of your roles in life, is to tell others about Jesus, to pass it on. So our fifth purpose is to share the good news about Jesus. You'll find an outline of what I'm saying on the back of contact if you'd like to follow or jot any notes. Our fifth purpose is to share the good news about Jesus. Now, sometimes you can share the good news about Jesus by doing things in his name, performing good deeds, loving kindness, that sort of thing. Other times you do it by actually talking about Jesus, maybe teaching, maybe explaining, maybe even trying to defend the rationality of Christianity. It's called apologetics. There are two different ways. The way that we call evangelism is the way of proclaiming, of talking. Now, that word evangelism is often misunderstood, but it simply comes from the Greek word that means good news. When we tell someone the good news about Jesus, in whatever way we do it, we're doing evangelism. And so the Bible says that once I know the good news about Jesus, I am to pass it on. Now, where do I do this? Where is the mission field for any of you that are sitting here this morning? Do you have to leave Melbourne and go somewhere else? I remember when I was younger, I had this horrible feeling that God wanted me to be a missionary. And I thought that will mean going to South America. And I didn't want to do that. Nothing wrong with South America, but I just didn't want to do that at the time. That's what I thought God wanted me to do. And instead, he turned me into an ordained minister. Suppose he knows what he's doing. Now, the risen Jesus said that you may have to leave your country, but not necessarily. When he met his disciples not long after he'd been raised from the dead, he says this: "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth," in Acts 1 verse 8. Where were they when he said that to them? They were in Jerusalem. So here's the point. He is saying, first of all, I want you to start where you are. And then you can go further afield. But first of all, I want you to start with the people who are closest to you, the people in your own community. Then he says, go to Judea, which was the region surrounding Jerusalem. So if our Jerusalem is here in eastern suburban Melbourne, our Judea might be the rest of Melbourne or even Victoria. He says then go to Samaria. Samaria implies people who are nearby but are culturally or ethnically different. So our Samaria would be anyone who's nearby who is culturally or ethnically different. And you don't have to go far in Melbourne to find people like that. You don't even have to leave this church to find people like that. Then he says, I want you to go to the ends of the earth, which literally means go to the ends of the earth. Go anywhere in the world. So if you'd like to think of it as a series of concentric circles, and the question is, where is my mission field? My mission field starts where I am at the center, and then it spreads out to people a little bit further away. It includes people who are different from me, and then it might extend right out to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth are determined by where you start from. Obviously, Melbourne would be the ends of the earth for a lot of people. And he says there that you're going to be a witness in all of those contexts. A witness. What's a witness? Witness isn't someone who is a salesman or anything like that. When you think about talking about Jesus, you don't have to be a salesman. All a witness means is someone who tells what they've seen. And you're the expert on saying what Jesus has done in your life. What have you seen happen in your life? You're the expert on that. You can tell that story. That's all it means. So whether it's right here or somewhere further afield, you're a witness telling a story about Jesus and your story. And you show people what Jesus has done in your life. Now, how do you do this and what does it actually look like? Well, I want to look at this a little bit further by keeping Acts 1:8 in mind and think about two of these different contexts. First of all, then, I must share the good news with those people in my world. The best place to start telling people about Jesus is wherever God has actually put you, among your family, your friends, your community. That's the reason we encourage you to invite guests to 40 Days of Purpose, because you already know people in this community that you could invite to come and learn about Jesus. Jesus once healed a man who was so excited that he asked Jesus, or begged Jesus, he said, let me come with you, let me leave my home and travel with you. And Jesus said to him, no, that he didn't want him to do that, and he told him to stay at home. He says this, he says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. That's Luke 8, verse 38 and 39. Notice the man's mission context was his hometown. Jesus wanted him to stay and be a local missionary. And that's the same for each of us. It begins where we are. It could be in our homes, in the places where our kids go to school or university, our suburbs, our workplaces, where we play sport. It could be the man you buy your food from. Could be the bloke who fixes your car. Where you are is your mission field. And God says, I want you to share the good news with the people who are in your Jerusalem first. Now, if you think back to last week's ministry and mission fair, this is what many of you are already doing. Some of this activity happens through the church, through our activities. This is our mission centre, Blackburn North. But I know that lots of you don't come from Blackburn North, but this is our centre, our hub. And we do some ministries and missions that emanate out of this place. And then there are others that go a little bit further afield, but are supported by here. So here are just some pictures to remind you of some of the activities. So we do Come Celebrate and Youth and Marriage Courses and Link, and Bethany Children's Trust is just starting up, and there's some women's ministry. There's some blokes who like, or families who like going on four-wheel driving. Sunday school, there's some Scripture Union, there's MOPS, there's an outreach to local internationals. That's just a very, very small snippet of some of the things that we saw last week. And there were over 60 that we had there last week. Now, why do we bother doing that? Why do Christians bother trying to tell other people about Jesus? It's because we don't want them to miss out on spending eternity with God. Somewhere along the line, someone has explained something of Jesus to you, and your eternal destiny is now absolutely guaranteed because you've put your faith in Jesus. If you have a heart for the same things that God has a heart for, you will want other people to share that same eternity. So we don't want to see anyone lost now or forever. And it's a wonderful thing to tell people about Jesus. Sometimes you might feel a little bit conflicted about this, but the New Testament is very positive about what this looks like. So Paul in Romans says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And in other parts of the New Testament, it says that telling people the good news is like being salt or light or water or fragrance. Let me look at those a little bit further. You'll see up here at the front behind me some examples of light. And on the wall behind me, it says, you were once darkness, but now you are light. You are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. That's from Ephesians. And it says there in terms of water, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them. And over there it says about light, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So two ideas from there. One is that you are, as a Christian, when you're telling people about Jesus, you're like light shining into their darkness. Now, when you think about darkness and evangelism, what that means is intellectual and moral confusion. A lot of people in the modern world don't actually know which way is up and which way is down. They don't know what God looks like. And you tell them about Jesus, you're actually shining light into their moral and intellectual darkness. Also, similarly, when you think about water, it's as if you're saying to people, well, I'm just going to let you die. But if I come and tell you about Jesus, what I'm offering you is life. You're offering someone a good thing. Elsewhere, you'll find in the church, I think near the reception desk, a bunch of flowers with the verse from 2 Corinthians 2, which says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of him. So Christians are like a perfume when they are telling people about Jesus. Also somewhere is some salt, and we're told we're like the salt of the earth, which helps preserve things from rotting. So these are all positive images. Positive images of what it's like telling people the good news. It's like bringing life-giving water to someone. And as Australians, you should really appreciate that image. It's like bringing light to someone who's in darkness. It's like bringing a fragrance or a perfume to someone as well. Now, you might think that no one would be interested in hearing about Jesus. You might have that natural sort of anxiety and fear about, does anyone want to even hear this? Well, you'd be surprised how many people do, and it's been exciting going through 40 Days of Purpose. One of my privileges in being a minister is I'm constantly talking to people who may not be quite certain who Jesus is. And it's a great, great privilege, and people are genuinely interested. So please don't be frightened or anxious. It requires persistence and it requires prayer to know when to say, what to say, all of that. We take that as granted. But when you go to heaven, you will have the pleasure of seeing people in eternity who are there because you have shared the Lord Jesus with them. That will be a great thing to be able to feel and to see. When we're in heaven, there'll be many things that we can do. We can praise God, we can relax and rest, we can party with the angels, we can feast at the heavenly banquet, but there are two things we can't do. Can you think of what two things might be that we can't do? One is we can't sin, and the other is we can't tell anyone who doesn't know it the good news. Why do you think God has left you on the earth? For which one of those two do you think he wants you to do? Now, if you want to live out God's purposes for your life, you must care about people and care enough about them to tell them the good news. God is more loving and enthusiastic and caring for your family than you are. He's more caring about my non-Christian family than I am. But he wants me to be a vehicle for telling them the good news. Jesus explained this in some stories and parables in Luke chapter 15. And there he tells stories about a man who lost a sheep, a woman who lost a coin, a father who lost a son. And every time they found that thing that was lost, it says there was rejoicing. And then Luke says there is rejoicing in heaven when people come back to God. When people who were lost are actually found, there's a party in heaven. So every time you hear of someone becoming a Christian, just picture the angels having a party. That's what Jesus is saying. God loves your family and your friends and your neighbours, and his Holy Spirit is at work in the suburbs, in your workplaces, in the places where your kids go to school, in the shopping centres. God is at work by his Holy Spirit already, explaining things to people, and sometimes what he needs is he needs a real live human breathing being like you to go and say, yeah, I know about Jesus, how can I help you? And to help that person hear the good news about Jesus. So our first mission field is right here where God has placed us. Secondly, when I think about sharing the good news about Jesus, I think about sharing it here in my world, and secondly, I must dare to reach beyond my world. God's love compels us to reach out to others, others who may be different to me. Now, as soon as you try and reach out to someone who's different to you, you are struggling. It may be because they're different in age. Like, try and talk about Jesus with a 15-year-old if you're a 50-year-old. It may be they're different in gender. It may be they're different culturally. It may be they come from a different part of the English-speaking world even, and you think you're similar, but then you discover you're not. God's love compels us to reach out to whatever our Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth look like. Jesus said near the end of his earthly, or just after he'd risen from the dead, in fact, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And he also said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now, sometimes people have this funny feeling that Christianity is a sort of Western thing. Well, it's not. It's for all nations. It's for all peoples. And in fact, I think the sort of heartbeat of Christianity at the moment is in Africa, if anywhere, and possibly in Asia. It's not even in Europe at all. Christians are commanded by Jesus to go to all the nations of the world and bring the good news. And sometimes that will actually mean leaving Melbourne and going to another country. Sometimes it may mean staying in Melbourne, but taking the good news to a group who are different to you ethnically or culturally in some way. The love that God has shown us, we can take to others in all sorts of ways.